You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, with a slight cold. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, December 4th, episode 3576, brought to you by Poseidon Animal Health.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
Well, we have a fun show planned for you today. Author Mick O'Riordan tells us about life as a farrier on the island of Cyprus. Do you know where that is?
I don't.
I had to look it up, too. So it's apparently off of like Israel and Lebanon and between there and Turkey, whatever sea that is. You know?
To visit, yeah.
Isn't Cyprus the one with all the white houses? Everything's white.
I don't know, but I do know they have a lot of donkeys on Cyprus. I don't know why I know that.
Well, apparently Mick became a farrier after he moved to Cyprus to work on the donkeys. So we're going to talk to him about that. Dr. Aaron Roddy, who's been here before during Poop Week of Poseidon Animal Health, explains what we need to do while feeding in the harsh winter. And I don't know if you've seen the pictures that some of our auditors are posting. Oh my God, it's like 3 feet of snow. It's crazy.
Harsh winter has arrived in many places.
And then we also have some weird news. We'll get to that a little later in the show. But you know what happens this week is National Finals Rodeo. It's the largest horse event in the United States for 10 nights. The 66th Wrangler NFR takes over the Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas. And the Cowboy Channel is where you're going to watch it if you do want to watch it. The total purse, you ready for this? For the 2024 National Finals Rodeo is $16.2 million.
Sources. But is that for all the different events?
Yes, all the different events. That's the total purse.
Wow. God, I'm in the wrong sport.
Jeez. Sources estimate the NFR generates $200 million a year for Las Vegas. It includes hotels and restaurants and all that stuff. Attendance this year is expected to be 170,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, there is a big deal. And apparently there's a new arrangement now to keep the NFR in Las Vegas through 2035, and it's expected to generate over $2.1 billion in economic impact over the next 12 years. Yeah. And
now,
I
just read that they had that race, the Formula One race, and it's like a weekend, mm-hmm. and it generated $2.1 billion
in one weekend.
Just the race. So horse people are still bringing it, but yeah,
Las Vegas, we're on the way. Years ago, apparently Las Vegas had a kind of a downtime in December. Nobody came in December. So when they got the NFR in and then opened all the Christmas markets, you know, there's a ton of people selling, you know, Western horse stuff all over the city. That's when it started to, you know, December became a thing. And now it's one of the biggest things. And that was why they made the deal. They apparently are paying money, too, to keep the NFR there. And that's why they made the deal, because nothing happened in December. In January, they have the Consumer Electronics Show, which is a couple hundred thousand people descend on that. But they didn't have anything in December. So they're really interested in keeping it there.
All I know is I know what is on Monty Roberts' television in his kitchen for the next 2 weeks.
The NFR?
Oh my gosh, yes, it's a huge deal.
Apparently the shopping is unbelievable. I do want to get out just to see it once sometime. We could get press passes. They've offered them to us before.
Well, giddy up, let's go.
You and I, we would be watching zero rodeo and be playing blackjack the entire time. We wouldn't get anything done.
But I will tell you, I am starting just now at 47 years to embrace the Western culture of dress. And I think that this would be a place that I could really go to, like, bring out my style.
I mean,
I'm not blingy, but like, I'm just really appreciating having a belt buckle and a cowboy hat. It's kind of fun.
Now, you need one of those little leather jackets with the fringe and you're good to go.
I have one. I mean, it was really cheap, but like I have one, Glenn. I am like, there's a place called Boot Barn, and Anna and I are Boot Barn addicts.
We have one here too.
It's so fun. I'm like, this, why haven't I been dressing like this my whole life? Oh, let me tell you why. Because you can't wear that crap when you write English.
Speaking of which, before we get to Daily Winnie's real quick, and I know we have a guest to get to, but how did Anna make out on her first Thanksgiving?
Oh, we had a great time. So we did like a family Thanksgiving here with Chad's family. And then the next day we went down to Dallas and spent I have family in Texas. So we spent 2 days with them and one night and did another Thanksgiving. So they have theirs on Friday. So we hopped in the car Friday morning after eating, you know, our body weight on Thursday, hopped in the car, drove down Dallas, did it again. So it was nice. And I got to visit with my aunt, who is my mom's older sister, and spend some time with her. And they at 90 got goats. So my uncle's like, you have to go out and see the goats. And I was like, what? You have goats? He was like, and he told Chad, he goes, after you see these goats, you're going to want some. And Chad was like, nope, no, we're not.
Yeah, goats. You and I are not goat people. We're just not goat people.
I think they're adorable. They're just.
Yeah, I think they're adorable like too, but they're somebody else's.
Chad calls them work generators. Yes. They're work generators.
Plus, they get on everything. And the first time they got on Chad's car, that would be it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad Anna had a good time. Did she eat herself silly?
She did. She made her grandma's potato salad. And so have the recipe handy for when you want to have her on. Of course, it was delicious. But of course, we can't just go to the regular grocery store to get things. We have to go to Cost Plus World Market to get particular German ingredients, like the pickles and
it.
Didn't
even know you have one of those in Oklahoma.
But let me tell you the shocking thing that was on the grandma's recipe list, which I
put
my foot down. Yes.
What?
Shocking ingredient. One of the main ingredients in this potato salad.
Fish
and her
sauce.
Her grandmother apparently hunts it down. And it is the key ingredient in the potato salad.
Okay.
Miracle Whip.
Oh, that's the best. And that note.
I think Anna, look at the ingredients.
We grew up in Miracle Whip.
I
can't eat green mayonnaise.
It's oil and corn syrup. Like, this is
perfect.
Real mayonnaise.
It's perfect. That makes the best potato salad. I like her recipe already.
So gross.
And we have a couple of auditor birthdays today. Ann Mabardi, Aaron Mekowitz, and Scott Kreidler. Hey, Scott, happy birthday to all three of you. Plus, I think we have set a record for a month in new auditors. We have some more. Roxanne, Jen, Michelle, Julia, Beth, and Allison.
Yay!
Welcome to all of you. I know a bunch of you have joined the HRN Auditors page. If you haven't, just search for HRN Auditors on Facebook. But thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. And I do think we've set a record this month. So thank you all.
Well, I wasn't going to narc on the fact that one of our listeners brought her horse up from Texas for me to start and crushed my gate. So we have two gates, one that come into the property. I wanted to do like a horseshoe kind of thing so trailers can come in and out. And so she drove in, crushed the gate, hit it. And then kept driving. Like, it was a mess. Like, it was terrible. We had to crowbar her trailer to be able to drive. Like, it was a mess. And I wouldn't have told anybody, but she told everybody. So I won't say her name on here. Anyway, Chad fixed
Tara.
It. Oh, you're so cruel. I don't know what you're talking about, Glenn. I don't know who it was. But anyway, they dropped our horse off. And now, of course, they hit the one that was the working gate. So that one has now, Chad worked. Oh my God. It took him a long time. Cause then of course he's like, I'm Chad. I'm going to upgrade everything. And so he upgraded it and fixed it, made it better. And now the gate that was originally going to be replaced is now currently being replaced. I can see the guys down working on it. They showed up
the automatic gate opener and stuff.
I'm going to have a button, Glenn. I'm so excited for the entire 5 years of living here. I have had to get out, open the gate, drive through, get out, close the gate, get back in, drive away.
We do that too. And it's not a big deal on not rainy days.
Yeah, winter is coming, my friend, and it is when it is raining sideways and 12 degrees, you hate your life and you like, I can't believe I have to do this. So yeah, it's a first currently world getting problem, fixed.
Really, isn't it?
Right? Oh my god, I'm sorry, I have to get out of my car and like get the gate open to my farm entrance. Now remember, all we came into some money because of the hailstorm that crushed our property, and insurance gave us a lot of money, and Chad's like, we should save it. I'm like, we're spending it all, we're marching towards death. So worm flooring is going in my barn owl this week supposedly, and then also the gate is being replaced, and it's going to be so nice. I'm so excited.
All right. I wanted to mention before we get to our first guest that I spoke to the people at Stateline Tech. Jennifer noticed this yesterday. She kept seeing Facebook pages that said Stateline and, you know, versions of Stateline Tech. And they had, you could tell they had obviously screenshotted the homepage of Stateline Tech. So, you know, it was obviously not Stateline Tech, but one of them she showed me was, I would have fell for it, I think. And then I contacted Stateline, sent them a bunch of screenshots, and they said, oh yeah, we've had about a dozen people trying to copy us, and then they're putting malicious software, you know, stuff on your computer and stuff. So Stateline Tech has a message. If you see the fake Stateline pages popping up, they're trying to get them taken down, but you know how that goes. If you see the fake pages popping up, then definitely do not go to them. Just go to statelinetech.com. Don't take a chance. Don't click on any of them.
Let me give all of you listening a piece of advice, which is do not click on any link from Facebook, because you will get scammed. So if you see something on Facebook and you're like, that's pretty cool, I want to buy that, don't click it. What you do is you look at it, and then you Google it, okay? And that will be the proper website. So you either Google it or go to, if it's like, oh, that's a really neat hat, go to Amazon, because those people are also selling it on Amazon, and you'll have that second wall of protection with Amazon. I'm just telling you, there's a 3 or 4 times now we've had to report a fake profile of me. Why? What do I do? Yeah. It's just people commenting on like, me, I'm selling t-shirts on people's Facebook posts. And I'm like, somebody messaged me. They're like, you have t-shirts for sale? And I was like, no, it's not me. It's fake. Report it. Anyway, that's just my scam alert for the day.
All right. Very good. And I also wanted to remind everybody that Stateline Tech has a coupon code going right now. And the coupon code that we're using that we'd like you to use, if you would, that would be great. Use HRN at checkout and get 30% off any order of $129 or more. That's HRN. Use that at checkout and get 30% off $129 or more. Some products are not eligible for additional discounts due to manufacturer restrictions. You'll see it in your shopping cart, whether they are or not. So head on over to Stateline Tech, but only statelinetech.com. Don't go anywhere else. Be careful. Be careful. A lot of scams out here right now. Jennifer's horse shopping, and she said a good 75% of the ads she sees are scams now, or auctions, or, you know, it's not easy to shop for a horse anymore. She was supposed to go see one. It was an ideal horse. Perfect. And the lady couldn't see her till today. A lady called her yesterday. Somebody from Texas saw the ad, bought the horse sight unseen, paid her for it, shipped it within a day.
That sucks.
Yeah, she would have gone see it last week, except the lady didn't have time till today. So, yeah, it just sucks. And I felt bad for her. All right, let's go to our first guest. We're going to head, I think he lives in England now, although I'm not sure. We're going to find out. But Mick O'Riordan has written a couple books, one called All Clenched Up and Nearly Finished, and one called All Clenched Up and Finally Finished. And he talks about his time in Cyprus as a farrier. Well, hey, Mick, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, you're welcome. I love to do anything like this.
Well, yes. I wanted to ask you, so I was, you know, doing a lot of reading, and you've written a couple books, which I just talked about. When did you move to Cyprus? How old were you when you moved there?
To Cyprus? I was 56. Yeah.
And
I went to retire.
And what did you do before you moved to Cyprus?
I was a farrier, shoeing horses.
Okay.
Yeah. I've shod horses for 52 years.
In England? In the UK?
It, 40 of them in the UK, just over 40 in the UK, and the rest in Cyprus.
So when you went to Cyprus, you were going to retire, but then, you know, nobody lets a farrier retire, right?
No, too many horsey people found out what I did for a living. I ended up shoeing horses the length and breadth of Cyprus and even into northern Cyprus, into the Turkish department as well.
How many horses are in Cyprus?
Oh, a hell of a lot. Yeah, there's more than I could do. Yeah. But it was totally different to working in the UK. In the UK, we've got to be registered full stop to shoe horse, like a vet or a doctor. We've got to pass exams and be registered. Well, over in Cyprus, I could show somebody else a shoe horse one night and start business next day. And there was all sorts of things going wrong, you know, in the farrier world, you know, at the time. And also, I got asked to trim the donkeys at the donkey sanctuary first. And when I went to the donkey sanctuary, I thought I should have qualified as a vet as well, because I seemed to be doing more than what the vet was doing.
There are a lot of donkeys there, aren't there?
There's loads of donkeys, yes, yeah. yes. That was interesting because the donkey sanctuary did what they call outreaches into the hills and that, and it was mainly old people who had the donkeys, and the villagers would collect all the donkeys and we would go and do the, you know, trim the hooves and other medication, what they wanted. It was quite interesting.
This was a whole world you didn't expect to see when you retired.
No, it was good. I've got to tell you this story about a donkey. There was a lady in this village. She got all the meat. Would have gone and see this old lady's donkey. It was ever so lame. So I went, and the lady who asked me to go, she come from the Netherlands, and she could speak a little bit of Greek. And with this old lady, she was walking around, hunched up, you know, head scarf and what have you. And she looked me up and down as if to think, what's he know about making donkeys better, sort of thing. You know, that was my opinion. Anyway, she's talked very fast and loud, and asked this other lady, and asked if I was a vet, and they call them doctors, you know, over there. Was I a doctor? And the lady didn't know the word for farrier, but she thought it was easy to say, yes, he's a doctor. So I put it in my book, Dr. Mick got led to the donkey. Anyway, we soon had our load of abscess, and found an abscess in the foot and pus coming out, and we put poultice on and dealt with it. But a lot of these old people, the wiggle and deal, and I knew I was going to get paid in vegetables and what have you. And she asked me if I drink. I like to drink. And I said, well, yeah, occasionally, yes, I'll have a drink. Well, these people make Zivrinia. You can buy it in the supermarket. It's a weakened version. But if it's distilled in some old-made distillery up in the hills in Cyprus, this Zivrinia is like rocket fuel. And if you are sick, it makes your voice go very husky, and you feel as if you want the fire brigade to put the fire out in you all the way down to your stomach. Anyway, this stuff, we had a stain on our bath and nothing would bring it off. So I tried this Zivrinia. That shifted it. It was going to cleaning windows. Yeah. And somebody came with a prick and they got prickly aid because it was really hot. We're up some zivering here and that cleared it up. They found out the cypress use it as medicine. Yeah, but that was one introduction I got into, you know, the fiery life in Cyprus. Yeah.
So you had a collection of goats and chickens and things when you were done from trading for farrier work?
I didn't have any. I did get some goats on the outreaches. There was a goat that got trouble. Its horns growing into its neck, and we got some cheese wire and managed to shorten me all that. But I've got to tell you the one about the pot-bellied pig at stables.
Okay.
There's this pot-bellied pig that just run round up the grounds. It was friendly enough and that. And they'd stop for a cup of tea, and we're having a cup of tea, and the guy said, have you ever trimmed the butters on a pig? I said, no, I haven't, but I shouldn't think it's hard, because this pot-bellied pig was, they were starting to curl up. And we got the pig into a pen, and as soon as I went to grip, you know, nip the growth off, it started to squeal. Or if anyone was 2 miles away, you would have thought we were committing a murder. Do you know, it squealed all the time we were trimming it. I don't think it didn't even struggle. It just squealed. And you would have thought we were committing a murder. Yeah. Yeah.
They do now, scream. Oh, man, it's violent.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you wouldn't believe it. I got asked to shoe a horse one day. I didn't ask anybody. I got asked, would I put some shoes on a horse? I knew the lady, and she told a riding school, told another one, and next thing, my name had gone all around Cyprus.
And, well, I imagine, you know, it's a kind of a, you know, it's not a huge world, so once the word gets out, you're working forever.
It's like... Yes, and it got me into some interesting place. It got me into... a lady who kept her horse on the old Nicosia Airport, what was been abandoned since 1974 when there was a little bit of trouble. And, you know, the UN are in charge. You've got to show your passport and permission to go in. And it's places it got me. I never thought I'd get into these places what were sensitive to show all sorts of thing. And that, yes.
Are you back in England now? Did you have to go back to England to retire?
We've come back here, yes, solely retired. I've got into writing books. You had me on 2 years ago on my first book, All Clenched Up and Nearly Finished. And that sold into thousands all around the world. And I got some really nice reviews off some people from the States, you know, how they enjoyed it, you know.
When your second one's out now, right? All Clenched Up and Finally Finished? That's out too?
Yeah, it's All Clenched Up and Finally Finished. Well, you'll probably say clinched in the States.
Yes.
And in the UK, we say clenched. And that's when the nails come out the side and we form a clinch, you know. keep the shoe on, but there's a bit more else involved. And
I found them at Barnes & Noble for sale over here, and I'll put a link in the show notes because these would be great stocking stuffers for people. If you have anybody that you know that's in the horse world, these would be great stocking stuffers for them. Thank you for joining us, Mick, and we'll put a link. It's called All Clenched Up and Nearly Finished and All Clenched Up and Finally Finished. I think you have to buy both. I think one has to go with the other.
The both still out there on Amazon to buy. You know, and, yes, and thank you anyway.
Thank you, Mick.
Your show, and all the best.
Well, there you go. They do look like fun books. I was reading the reviews. He has great reviews on these books, and I found him at Barnes
and Noble. I want to have one of those drinks with that guy.
I know. I know. Sounds like acid. Actually, I'd never heard of it. Had you?
No.
I have to look that one up. All right, we're going to hear from some of our sponsors and come back with Dr. Aaron Roddy. He's going to talk about winter feeding. Bring the holly and the jolly to your holiday rides with Tough One's fun holiday horsewear. Dress up your horse like Santa or one of his elves with costumes fit for English and Western horses, leading in hand or even cart driving. Each Tough One holiday horsewear set is made of brightly colored felt with fun accents such as pom-poms, bells, and fleece. Sets include various costume pieces for complete nose-to-tail festive looks that are perfect for parades, photo shoots, and costume classes. Available in both horse and mini and pony sizes, you can find these and more at your favorite tack shop or online at toughone.com.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Our full line of specialty horse feeds is unique in the industry. We start with high-quality non-GMO grains that are flame-roasted for safety and better digestibility. And then we add non-GMO alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Your horse will enjoy unsurpassed balanced core nutrition with elevated levels of vitamins, zinc, and copper, prebiotics, probiotics, and electrolytes in every mouthful. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Time to welcome our next guest, Dr. Aaron Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health. Hi, Dr. Roddy. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good to be here.
What part of the country are you in?
I am in Ocala, Florida with Glenn, and it will surprise people, but it is cold in Ocala right now.
Got down to 28 last night. With snow, we have 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can play your tiny violin, but it is, you know, worse for us because we're not used to it. That's
what we say anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to you about winter feeding, but I just have to, and Glenn, we can cut this out if we have to, but I just have to talk to you real quick about what you sent me the last time we talked. You sent me some digestive HP for a horse that would not... that just wasn't interested in eating, and you created a monster. Like, I started giving him that food because he just wouldn't really eat. I mean, he'd like pick at it and all that. I put that paste in it. In 3 days, he is like tearing down the walls trying to get food. I don't know what kind of voodoo magic that was, but it's incredible. And then same horse decided he was going to start cribbing. He's been here 2 months. He didn't crib. And then all of a sudden he starts cribbing. Well, I didn't have a collar. And so he cribbed like this one day and I was like, I got to get him a collar. And I swear to God, in an hour, he's colicking. And I was like, obviously I think it's a gas colic because he's cribbing. I gave him a stress paste and walked him and it stopped. Like, I don't know if you're supposed to publicize it or not, but like, that's what I did and it worked. So you have saved the same horse's life twice.
I'm very happy to hear that. And you know, it's not voodoo magic. It's just so kind gut bacteria, and they might be voodoo magic. I certainly give them a lot of credit for the health of the horse, but when those hind gut bacteria aren't happy, they cause all sorts of havoc. And when we make them happy, it is amazing the magic that they create. And that's what I always say about horses is they are really, truly amazing creatures. We just have to make sure that we're taking care of those hind gut bacteria. But I'm thrilled to hear that. And I certainly do recommend if people are in that acute state of colic where they're waiting for the vet to get there and they don't know what to do, it doesn't hurt to give a stress paste. And I have seen quite a few of those cases of just gas colic or mild abdominal upset where the horse gets better. And it saves a lot of stress, and sometimes it saves a very expensive vet bill. So it's something I recommend all my clients keep in their tack trunk, and there's no harm in it. And a lot of times it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it was a miracle. So I just wanted to thank you for sending that.
I'm so glad. I'm really glad about that.
All right. Well, now we're getting into a whole nother world of horses wanting to try to die, which is winter.
And absolutely. So horses do not love winter.
No, they don't. So kind of some basic questions here, like, in your opinion, what are some general do's and don'ts when it comes to winter feeding?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest thing to remember with horses is obviously they're not good with change. And I appreciate that. I'm a fairly rigid human being. I don't do well with change. So actually for us, our horses here in Florida, they're going to struggle more with 28 degrees Fahrenheit than a horse in Michigan might struggle with 3 feet of snow, because it's a big change for them. So when we have these dramatic changes in weather, that's more troublesome than even the further extremes. And the reason for that is because, like we talked about, their hindgut bacteria, their GI tract, it gets used to doing a certain thing, drinking a certain amount of water, eating a certain amount of food, a certain type of food. And when that changes quickly, those bacteria are really slow to adapt. So, you know, number one always with horses is obviously water. Water is the rate limiting step in terms of their life. If they're not consuming enough water, they will very quickly deteriorate. When it gets cold, horses are less interested in drinking water, particularly if the water is really cold. So I think number one thing is to make sure that your horses continue to drink water. Couple options for that: providing warm water. Obviously up north, they're very good about having, you know, heated buckets and heated water troughs and checking and breaking ice. But it doesn't have to be hot, certainly, but making sure that water is a little bit warm, and even making it appetizing in some way, whether that's adding some molasses or an electrolyte powder. Some people like to add apple juice, but you might just have to encourage these guys to actually keep up their water intake. I also love in the winter to give some warm soupy mashes, really, really soupy. Whether you like bran, not a huge fan of bran myself, but some people love it. I particularly love beet pulp. So some warm soaked beet pulp with some electrolytes in it. You're going to get really good food for those hindgut bacteria. You're going to get a good amount of water in, and that will just encourage these horses to keep drinking, because that's our biggest concern.
One of the things I think about the beet pulp is condition your horses to eating it before you need them to eat it. One of the things I've learned is that beet pulp sometimes may not be super palatable to some horses. So what I started doing just this summer, it got really, really hot. And so I would put some beet pulp in with their grain, just some soaked beet pulp in with their grain, and got them accustomed. Now I can just drop a cup of soaked plain beet pulp and they devour it. So that's definitely one thing I've learned about the beet pulp. But no, I do love, love, love it. And the electrolytes too. If you just dump in plain beet pulp with electrolytes in it, they're not going to typically want to eat it. So just kind of introduce it to them slowly. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And you know, I say the same thing with, you know, just, I think it's important to get your horse used to a flavor that you can use in all different. So if you're traveling or if you're competing and they don't like the water, some people use apple cider vinegar. Their horses like that. A lot of horses like molasses. There's actually some really cool products on the market now that are sugar-free flavorings that you can use. I've heard people use Gatorade. I don't think it really matters. As long as you find something that your horse likes that's palatable for them, you get them used to that. I worked at a couple of barns where whenever the horses were brought back after being ridden, they had a bucket of molasses water right there, and they would let the horses have a drink. And because they'd just been ridden and they were thirsty, that really got them onto that taste. And so then you can use that going forward. But yeah, a lot of horses don't love beet pulp the first time they have it. The molasses, I think, is a little more palatable, but definitely getting them used to it. You can mix in a handful of like a senior feed. Doesn't have to be a lot, but just to get that good flavor from that grain. But, you know, it's going back to that thing about horses. They don't like change. So you don't wait until the middle of winter when it's freezing and they haven't drunk any water in 2 days and then go, oh, now we're going to try to give some beet pulp. That's not going to work, unfortunately, no matter how much you're trying to help them. So absolutely getting prepared and making sure that you've got them onto the taste and that they're happy. And beet pulp is such a great thing for the hindgut. I think it's great to feed all year round. It's a great conditioner. It's not very expensive. So it's a great fiber diversity source. You really can't say enough good things about beet pulp. And like you said, in the summer, it can do the same job of getting hydration in with cold water. So I think that's really smart to get your horse adjusted to it, or just get them adjusted onto something, whether that's wheat bran or rice bran or something that you can use to really give a good hydration meal.
Now, one of the things that I do in the winter and also in the summer too, is on those days where we have like a temperature change, I will put electrolytes in their food. Now I think about that. I'm like, am I too late? Should I do that like all the time? Do they need salt in their food, electrolytes in their food every day, or is it better to do it on the days that change? I'm not quite sure. I always question myself when I do that.
So I like to feed loose salt every day, 30 to 60 grams of loose salt for your average, 1,100 pound horse. Can be once or twice a day, and also providing access to free choice salt. A lot of people think, oh, my horse has a salt lick, so they're fine. If you think about 30 to 60 grams a day, those salt licks should be going pretty darn quick. They shouldn't be lasting more than a couple of weeks. So if you've got a salt lick in your horse's stall that's been there for 6 months or a year, your horse is definitely not consuming enough salt. And I just tend to find some horses really like them, but most horses don't want to lick enough to actually get the salt that they need. So I think 30 to 60 grams of loose salt every day is a very cheap form of colic insurance to keep your horse drinking.
And is that just regular salt?
It can just be regular table salt. That's absolutely fine. Obviously, if you want to go fancy with the Himalayan, go for it, but regular table salt is just fine. Some people get a little concerned about iodized salt, not to go down a rabbit hole, but too much iodine in the diet can be damaging. For me, you've got to have a lot of sources of iodine for that to be a problem. So I'm perfectly fine with regular table salt. Obviously, Himalayan salt is fine. There are some companies that make salt along with vitamins and minerals, and you can do that as well. Electrolytes do contain salt, so it's certainly not wrong to do electrolytes instead, but that just kind of comes down to budget. I'm a little bit the same as you. I tend to feed salt, loose salt, every day in the feed. And then if we're having particularly hot weather, which obviously in Florida is often, or if my horses are traveling and I'm worried that they might go off water a little bit, I'll add electrolytes into their feed, or if I've got one that I know is working hard. But loose salt, I think, is really easy to do. You may have to start slowly with some horses. Some horses don't love the taste of salt, so you'll need to start slowly with that and get them used to it. But I think that's a really, really smart move. And I like that to just encourage their thirst and keep them drinking.
Cool. So here's what I see myself doing with my princesses that live in the barn, princes. I'm going to have my Himalayan sea salt like grinder, and I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, would you like it a little more? And like grinding it over their grain. Yeah, this is me now. Thank you for that.
Now you're getting fresh grind the salt. You could have a cracked pepper as well.
But you'd like some Parmesan? A little more?
What else would you like? But like you said, any of these things, we have to take them slowly and get the horses used to it. But yeah, I think a lot of people forget about salt, and it's a very inexpensive and easy thing that really should be a part of your horse's ration every day.
Is there anything you would recommend for an older horse? I have one, bless his heart. He's the greatest thing in the history of the world. And he is estimated to be around 33.
Oh, wow. That's just awesome. You're obviously doing a very good job taking care of him. So yeah, our older guys, certainly when we get into wintertime, the biggest thing for horses is that they burn calories in order to stay warm, right? So with our older horses that have a slower metabolism, they have that decreased hindgut diversity, they are going to struggle to keep condition on through the winter. Now, with most horses through the winter, I just recommend increasing the amount of forage, because forage is the thing that they process the best to produce heat. More hay, more forage, that's going to keep your horse warm. Now, with an older horse at 33, he's probably got some dentition issues, so he may struggle a little bit with hay. And obviously, no matter where you are in the world, even down here in Florida, our pastures are really going to start to fall off in the winter. So he's not going to have a lot of pasture. He probably struggles to eat hay. So with him, we're going to have to really think about how do we keep him warm. We can still feed him forage and fiber. Again, I'm going to go back to our beet pulp. Beet pulp is fantastic, fantastic fiber source. He should be able to eat that. Even with no teeth, he can eat that. Other things you can do would be soaking different kinds of fiber pellets or cubes. So get that really mushy. Obviously, a good quality senior feed, that can actually provide him all of the nutrition he needs as long as you're feeding it at the right level. So making sure that he's getting all of his vitamins and minerals, his amino acids, and those things soak up great. Another thing I really love for older horses or any horse that's struggling with condition is actually oil. Horses process fat really well, and you don't have to feed a lot of oil to get a really good bang for your buck in terms of calories. A lot of people can just feed canola oil or vegetable oil. Or if you're looking for an omega-3 hit as well, you can do a flaxseed or a linseed oil, and that's covering a lot of bases. But adding that little bit of oil, and that does more in that it's also a lubricant. So as we start to, you know, get a little bit drier in our food and maybe we're not drinking as much water, having that oil in there is going to help lubricate everything and make sure everything's passing through how it should. Again, that's something, some horses love oil, some horses find it a little bit strange. So start slowly, try to start ahead of time. But I would definitely, for any senior horse, be adding some oil into their food in the winter. Okay. And the last thing I would like to talk about is actually blanketing, which is a bit of a hot topic for people. Obviously, what we're worried about in any horse that struggles with condition, whether they're older or they're a younger horse, is that they're going to burn their calories to stay warm. If we put a blanket on, we're going to help the horse stay warm for sure. And so for an older horse in particular, that can really help. If you're going to blanket, you need to be very wary that you are starting to alter the way that horse is designed to function. So don't just throw the blanket on and toss the horse out for a month or 2 months and not look at them. One, you're not going to be able to tell what's going on with their condition underneath. Two, we will, even in winter, have some days where that blanket is too hot. And remember that horses use their coat, so what we call piloerection, which is actually lifting the hair. You can tell when a horse looks fluffy, like they've had a balloon rubbed against them, right? And they've got staticky. That's actually piloerection. And that they use that to keep warm. It traps the layer of air inside, but they also use it to cool down. When you put a blanket on, they can't piloerect as effectively. So yes, you've added a blanket for warmth, but you've taken away their ability to piloerect their coat, which is how they control their temperature. So it's actually a little harder for them to warm themselves, and it's also much harder for them to cool themselves. So I think blanketing can be really helpful. And certainly if you've clipped the coat, then we need to replace that with something. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be really vigilant about making sure that your horse is still comfortable wearing that blanket.
I always thought it's better to have them a little cold than a little warm under a blanket. So
100%. If they're hot or they're sweaty, there's actually some really cool research they've done where they taught horses a couple of responses. So they were able to actually tap a card to say what they wanted. And they did a study with different temperature ranges about when the horses wanted to wear the blanket. And it wasn't until much colder than you would think before the horses actually preferred wearing the blanket. So certainly erring on the side of caution, checking those blankets a lot. You know, they can also rub in different places, and that's really uncomfortable for a horse. So I just do worry when I see people sort of put a blanket on and then not look at the horse daily or for a couple of weeks, that we just need to make sure that the horse is comfortable all the time, because we are changing their ability to stay warm.
Right.
Most horses, if we just increase the amount of forage, they're going to do just fine. But with your older guy, he's sort of past his ability to thermoregulate himself. So we do need to help him.
Oh, His Highness gets lots of help. Okay. I mean, okay. I've mentioned princesses, well, and princes, he's the king. So he gets, we always say the Duke gets what the Duke wants.
Perfect. I love that.
So
he deserves it.
Before we wrap, what is some Poseidon animal health products that you would recommend that is kind of a staple for winter?
Absolutely. So obviously our digestive HP is our daily powder, and that's just going to help support the gut, particularly those hindgut microbes in winter, and help them really process the forage well, so that we're getting every bang for our buck out of calories. Hay seems to get very expensive in winter, especially if you weren't able to store it ahead of time. So we want to make sure that all that hay that we're feeding, the horse is processing it well, turning it into volatile fatty acids, and then absorbing them. And then the other thing I love in any kind of weather circumstance, but particularly winter, is the stress paste. The stress paste has those B vitamins in it, and it also has betaine, which helps with hydration. So it's going to keep the horse eating, it's going to keep the horse drinking, and it's going to help them resist the stress that is caused by change in temperature. So if you know you've got a big snowfall coming, or you know you've got a big change in weather, I would absolutely be giving stress paste. And I've done that with all my horses here in Ocala when this cold front came through, because they are just not expecting it. So sort of the night before I knew all the weather's really going to turn, they all got a tube of stress paste. And then they stay on half a tube morning and night until I'm sure that everybody's drinking and they're coping well. Because for me, that is much easier than ending up with a colic situation where I've got, you know, somebody coming out, or I've got to take a horse to a hospital, which never seems to be at a convenient time or a convenient temperature. So,
all right, Glenn. Well, that's what we need. We're going to have to just crank a half a tube of stress paste in you twice a day because clearly you're not wintering
very well.
I'm
not coping well.
Absolutely, Glenn. That'll be perfect.
I think everybody who comes to Florida needs that because we left the North for a reason.
Yeah. Hell, you poor little
Why has it followed us?
Followed us? Well, Aaron,
nobody's feeling
so much.
Sorry for us, Aaron. They're really not.
No, they're really not. But I feel like if they were Floridian, if they understood.
Oh, yeah. You're not winning that one either.
Oh, we're so sorry you have to live in Ocala in the winter. Oh, my God. Poseidon Animal Health is the website, PoseidonAnimalHealth.com. Dr. Aaron Roddy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. It was great to be here and enjoy your cold.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's the time of the week again where listeners send me news stories from all over the globe that if you see them, you're like, well, that's super weird. Well, what these people do is they think of me when they see weird stuff and they email it to Jamie. So please, if you see a weird news story, just email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Debbie, Lindsay, Shelley, Laureen, Melissa, and Denise all did this week. They sent me these weird news stories, and I don't tell you who sends me what because it's none of your business where they've been reading their news, okay? All right, so the first one, it sounds really sweet, Glenn, really sweet. And this was in People magazine. This is how, big this story got. There's an Alaskan pilot
First
named
of all, People magazine still around? I guess so.
At least online. Yeah, they do. They sell them in the things because it's all celebrity stuff. And I love the crossword puzzles. Anyway, People magazine, Alaskan woman drops Thanksgiving turkeys from plane in an effort to feed neighbors who live, quote, off the grid. Her name is Esther Sanderlin, and she drops turkeys from her plane. She has one of these little planes with skis on it, you know, but she flies over these tiny little towns of Squatana and West Susitna Valley, Alaska, and she drops turkeys out of the plane. And I'm like, that's so sweet. How the hell do you know a turkey's coming down? What if it hits? They're frozen. They're not live turkeys. They're not, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I was going to say, how bruised are they going to be? But they probably landed in the snow, so that's fine, right?
I mean, yeah, they drop a frozen turkey in the heavy snow. I wonder that. I don't know. They didn't say in the article, but for 3 years, she's been dropping what they refer to as, quote, turkey bombs. How do you know you're not going to hurt somebody? It seems dangerous. If anybody has a turkey bomb, please email me on how this happens. Because
I know we have some Alaskan listeners, but I don't think quite far up that far. I don't think they're up that far.
I don't think their Wi-Fi is good enough for a podcast. Apparently, the typical food of people in this town, are you ready? Squirrel. They'll split a squirrel three ways.
Well, that turkey looks really good then.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, good Lord. No, thank you. Okay. Now, this was sent to me, and the headline is just as good as the article. Okay, I'll give you some backstory. This is Antioch, California, and the incident took place at a church. And it's called the First Family Church in Antioch. And the pastor is Nick Nevis. And he got an alert on his phone that an alarm had gone off. Somebody had broken a window. So I'll just read you the headline. Pastor with martial arts training fights off would-be church burglar on Thanksgiving. That's right. He rushed to the scene of the church. The burglar had cracked the window with a hammer and was coming out with thousands of dollars worth of stuff from the church. Well, he's like, stop, citizens arrest. And the guy's like, whatever. You're a pastor of the church. I'm just going to leave with all this stuff that I've stolen, and keeps running. Mr. Nevis, Mr. Pastor Nick, he's trained in jujitsu. So he jumps the guy.
Took him down.
Takes him down and keeps him in a hold until the police arrive. And so the day was saved by Pastor Nick and his martial arts training.
I got to think that anybody breaks into your house now with your kickboxing kick-assness, they would be doomed.
Yeah, I'm ferocious. You should watch out. I told you I'm like terrified of guns, right? And yeah. Chad's like, you need to have a gun. You're on a farm and you're all by yourself. And like, you need to protect the house. And I'm like, I'll hurt myself before I'll hurt somebody else with a gun.
Well, you just got that bow and arrow. You proved to be efficient at that.
Well, I'll tell you what he did get me. Oh. He got me this little pistol thing with these little big, fat, like marble-sized BBs. And it's like an air gun. And he's like, all you have to do is put, and I've shot it, and it has air gun rifles, like these little BBs, mm-hmm. which again, it's just a gun that's shooting into my face. I'm gonna bruise them until they run away. And also it has like pepper spray lips. Yeah, exactly. Watch me shoot somebody in the eye and kill them. Great. That'd be awesome. But no, there's these little things. It's like airsoft rifle. So I am armed at this point, and I will ping the hell out of your thigh. Watch out. And as an aside,
and if you get close enough, if you get past all of that bruising, she will kick you. So
I will punch you in the throat. Yes. I know a throat strike that'll take you down. Yeah. But I would also like to tell everybody that my son Lucas has joined the archery team at school. That's right.
Really?
There's an archery team at school, and he has practiced twice a week, and his first archery tournament is Friday night in El Reno, Oklahoma. So excited.
Archery.
Yeah.
We had rifle team, but we didn't have an archery team. Wow.
Well, they don't give the children guns anymore, Glenn. Archery it is.
Archery, yeah, like they're not going to kill each other. Have you ever watched Ghosts? Do you see the guy with the arrow through his neck?
Yeah, exactly. All right, next story. All right, so our final story. Let's see, I've got this one too. Okay, so you know how we had snakes on a plane?
Oh, and then we had tarantulas on a plane.
Tarantulas on a plane.
I remember that vividly.
Well, this one grounded a flight, okay, in Portugal. Actually, the flight arrived at its location in Portugal, but then it took 4 days. 4 days for employees.
Can I guess?
Please do.
All right. We've had snakes. We've had spiders. What's left? Had to be mice or rats.
You'll never guess.
Oh, really?
132 were being transported underground in the caged open. The cutest attack of 132 hamsters.
Hamsters on a plane.
Hamsters on a plane. They didn't make a movie about that one. So 132 hamsters that were being transported to a pet store escaped from their cages in the cargo hold. They landed. The crews went to get all the bags out. They're like, oh, my God. There's empty cages in here. What was in them? And so they have to do all this reviewing and interviewing. And turns out there was 132 hamsters. It took them 4 days to catch it. But then they had to continue to, the plane still hasn't taken off because they're afraid there might be more hamsters like in the engine. So yeah.
Hamsters. Having had personal experience with hamsters, they hide. Really?
Yep.
Really. Any parent that's had hamsters knows how well that hamster hides. They get loose, you'll never find the damn things. You know, they'll be in the wall, yeah. They'll be in the ceiling. You can't find hamsters.
Well, I did that weird news story about the turtle that was found in the attic that escaped from the cage 27 years ago.
One more?
Yep, one more. Okay. And why am I doing one more, Glenn? Because we can't leave out what place?
Florida.
You got it, baby. We're going to Bonifay,
chilly,
Florida.
Chilly, cold, wicked Florida.
But this is down near Tampa Bay.
Oh, not so.
And I think it's really sweet, actually. This guy goes on Craigslist and he puts an ad that he is new to the area. And I thought it was sweet. He's just looking to make some connections on Craigslist. Unfortunately, the ad actually titled "New to the Area, Looking for Crack." And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which way to say it, somebody answered the ad. And so it's like, hey, you're looking for crack. Like, welcome to Florida. Welcome to Bonifay, Florida. Let's meet for lunch. And so the gentleman who placed the ad and his friend went to lunch and sat down with the FBI agent who who then arrested them after they actually the Holmes County Sheriff's Office responded to the ad, posed as a seller, set up a meeting at a restaurant, and they one person sold and one person bought, and then the other person arrested the other person.
it deserves this.
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
Well, you know, how else do you find your crack supplier?
I mean, he's new to the area, Glenn. He was reaching out, looking to make some connections, okay?
It's got to be the riskiest part is actually finding a good supplier you can trust, right?
I mean, that's the thing is, like, at least he, you know, we're looking, he didn't, like, skulk around the back alleys. Like, he just went straight out and was very honest. But Stephen Hornsby and Anthony Matta are in jail, and their mugshots are interesting. It's just two plain old white guys, like in their 50s. They're probably in their 30s, but they look 50s because they do meth or crack or whatever.
Bubba's going to ask them why they're in jail, and they're going to have to say, I ran an ad on Craigslist. And they're going to go, nobody runs ads on Craigslist anymore. No wonder you're in jail.
I told this to Chad and we laughed. What we've determined Craigslist is either people that are these people, but I recently I've had pretty good luck buying horses. And you just know that when you go and you see a horse on Craigslist and you're going to go look at it, it's going to be one of two people. Either it's going to be one of these gentlemen that's buying and selling mess, or it's going to be somebody who's in their 70s, and that's the only thing they knew how to do to sell a horse. And that's exactly what happened with the last horse I got. I showed up and I was like, oh yeah, he's sold on Craigslist because, you know, he's 70.
Same thing happened to Jennifer. She went out to look at this horse and she could not get a video out of the lady. And she thought, well, this is going to be a scam. But the lady was like 75 and didn't know how to do a video and get it sent to her. Yeah. So that's what it was. And the horse also was about 75.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, you know, she said it was, what'd she say it was? Eight? And isn't eight always the thing?
It's always eight.
And it was like 15 or 18 or something. You know, it was not.
That's where your wife and I differ. I'd be like, I'll take it.
All right. Before we wrap. Oh, how do people send you ads?
You can send them to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com.
And I think that we didn't give away the prize last time. So I think we're giving away the prize this week on Friday for really bad ads. So you have one day to get ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. I know you're all busy, but I also have a favor to ask before we wrap up today. There'll be no post show today. You have 6 hours of Radiothon to catch up on, which, by the way, is on the Horses in the Morning podcast feed as audio if you don't have time to watch it. But I have to ask everybody if anybody has one of these and which one to get, because there's 50,000 of them and they're expensive. I have room now in the living room by the big windows to do one of those indoor growing hydroponic systems, you know, the tall ones that you grow all the lettuces and all the herbs and stuff in.
Yeah,
it's hydroponic and they're like $400 or $5,000. They're like expensive. So I want to know if anybody has one, which one they got and whether they liked it. So you can email me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com because I don't. They just all look expensive. Do you got one?
I had the little one with the like three pods and the thing, and I got a lot of basil off. But the lettuce ones, the problem is like you'd have to have a wall full of them to have a whole salad.
Well, that's the thing. These are tall. They probably have room for 40 little holes to grow stuff. And they're like $500. So I want to know beforehand if anybody's gotten one and actually liked it. Also, before we wrap, did you see Oxford's Word of the Year, which seems so appropriate for 2024?
No, give it to me.
Brain rot.
Yes. Brain rot or ring rot?
Was their Word of the Year. Apparently, you know, it became prominent this year. I love how they diplomatically worded this. The term this year is used to capture concerns about the impact of consuming excessive amounts of low-quality online content, especially on social media. The term increased in usage frequency by 230% between last year and this year. The first recorded use of brain rot was in 1854 by Henry David Thoreau's book, Walden. So there you go. It was used a long time ago, but really became popular in 2024. I wonder why. So there you go. There's the word of the year. All right, we're going to wrap
on
brain
rot.
See, this
is the problem with me doing Craigslist is since I was talking, I was like, let me look on Craigslist. And oh my God, there are Basset Hound puppies an hour away for $300. It's like they're being
they're
going to
be
like
quality.
Homer.
They're going to be just like when you found that last dog in the crack house.
Like, I mean, then Chad walked in. I'm not looking at Basset Hound puppies that are in Lindsay for $300
that was good
and they're
timing.
First shots. Oh my God, he just walked in right then. I swear. Look at that. It looks like a little Homer.
Say no, Chad. Say no. Say no. Just
I can't hear you. Sorry, you're breaking up, Glenn. Bye. Spay neuter geld. Oh my God. Look at that. Look just like that.